Holly and I are back having a conversation in our little studio, and we spoke about AI last time, but at the speed, momentum, cadence that the world is moving at the moment, we've had so many more conversations from SMEs around AI and what it means, and those that are speeding along and those that are sort of questioning where they are and what they should be doing, that we thought might be sensible to revisit.
Yeah, we're also both being asked to talk about AI through an ESG lens, which is great because there are so much to talk about around AI through an ESG lens, and it's an amazing privilege to have that opportunity. And every time we have those conversations, or you know, put up kind of thoughts on LinkedIn and different places, it seems to spark huge amounts of conversation. So not only is it an incredibly hot topic, but it is something that people genuinely seem to be thinking about through an ESG lens, which is refreshing and encouraging, I think, as well as sparking lots of different questions and areas for concern.
Really interesting, isn't it? There's kind of that the very technological, how do you physically implement AI, what is an agent sort of side of it. But actually what we have found from pretty much every sort of C-level, C-suite, board, sort of senior leadership conversation that we've had is that a lot of the concerns that are coming to them from the teams aren't to do with the technological side of it necessarily. People sort of understand how to use it, it's very intuitive, etc. It's more that other side of how does this impact my job, how ethical is it, how much energy is it using, and that sort of stage before of like giving people confidence in what they're doing and how to do it and at what speed they should be uptaking and how to uptake it within a business seems to be really like picking up conversation.
Yeah, which is where we can come in, isn't it? I mean, I think obviously we're not experts in the kind of cybersecurity and the technical aspects by any means. We would never pretend to be. But we can really bring all of our sort of wealth of experience of working with businesses and as I say, put that ESG lens on what responsible AI implementation means. And gosh, trying to wade through the minefield of how you understand the environmental impact as well, which I think the vast majority of sustainability professionals are just trying to get to grips with at this point.
So what we found is a lot of companies have sort of started with AI into the business without doing that governance bit at the front end. And I think in order to get to the governance bit, there's also a bit of like listening to the culture of your organization, then enabling people to be able to access and to experiment. And then the most important part about experimentation is that you have to be able to let people fail. So what does safe failing look like in your business? And safe failing isn't putting all of your clients' GDPR details into ChatGPT, for example. So you need to like really boundary and parameter what that is. But it was also an aligning with company values, I think, which is needs to all be part of that governance and that policy piece. And then sort of measuring and working out what's successful, which is all, again, going back to the sort of things that we talk about as that ESG lens. But I think really understanding those early steps of why you're doing what you're doing, what you want it to do, what would be successful, and what's the best way to do it, and how can you help people get there is a really important conversation to have at the very early stage, rather than can I build an agent?
You know, accepting that you're not going to get it perfect the first time, I think, is also really important. And this is something we talk about a huge amount with our clients and thinking about sustainability more broadly. You don't need a perfect framework or a sort of perfect score. You don't need to be ready to kind of communicate these things. It's understanding what the first steps are and how you sort of can move forward, you know, using the learnings at every stage to kind of take that process forward.
And we've seen some sort of or heard recently of some really interesting job title changes in organisations. We heard of one the other day, which was head of people and agents at quite a well-known organisation. They've changed their sort of head of people role, and they're treating their AI agents with the same life cycle management as human employees, which I think is quite a big step and really interesting to see how they're doing that. And that includes recruiting, training, performance reviews, which is, you know, quite impressive stuff, yeah. And very much ahead of the game. I suppose the question is, how can smaller businesses adopt some of those learnings from what these sort of slightly bigger companies with more resources are already implementing?
Yeah, I think, you know, that feels like quite a big sort of piece there, doesn't it? And I think that feels like a sort of more of a natural fit for a really big business than perhaps it would for a small one. But I think you can take those principles and apply them. Again, it's kind of really coming back to the governance. I think that's so important, because if you get that right, everything else flows from it. So perhaps not necessarily having a sort of formal job title in that way, you know, might not seem so appropriate in a smaller business. But again, you know, understanding what is being used, how it's being used, and making sure that the appropriate sort of checks and balances are in place, as much for the AI as they are for the humans using the AI. I mean, recruitment is such an obvious one. We're going through a recruitment round at the moment. We are using some AI to help us with that. And immediately you can start to see patterns which are sort of quite alarming in what the kind of what that's spitting out. So it's just being aware of these things and approaching everything with caution.
Yeah. And I think with the sort of human in loop, or the human in control, which I think we have preferenced slightly as language, because I think human in the loop can sometimes feel a little bit passive. It feels like it's going past you. but having that sort of human, you know, AI isn't this sort of magical autonomous solution. It really does require humans at the moment. And I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it's a very large percentage. I want to say it's about 75% of CEOs, when they were asked, I will try and find the details and we can put it in the caption, aren't seeing the commercial value necessarily back, or the performance increases from using a lot of AI at the moment, because I think we still are quite an experimentation for a lot of businesses. But one of the most important things to understand whether or not it has been successful, I think, is to have that human in control, not just for safety, security, but actually, what is the value of this?
I would encourage people to go back a few episodes and listen to your interview with Tricia Blathwick, because that episode highlighted really beautifully the importance of human in control. And also what really struck me as well was, and it kind of is such an obvious point, but I think people miss it, is that if you allow the AI to take away sort of the grunt work and the heavy lifting of the stuff that would take you sort of painstakingly hours and hours of stuff to do, it does then let kind of create space for the human creativity and the kind of really creative thinking of when you're using it for something like procurement and bid writing, which is what that interview was about. But that sort of absolutely having control over those outputs and knowing how you can use that to your advantage, both to get work done but also to use to use humans for what they're best for, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And that I would always recommend listening to Tricia. I think she's absolutely incredible on this and many subjects, procurement and AI, and is incredible to listen to and follow on LinkedIn. Highly recommend. But I think successful adoption of AI, and this is something we've spoken to a couple of companies about recently, is a lot about the role modeling, how to use it, when it is valuable, when it is not, how to use it, what correct and safe usage of it looks like, and how you can manage sort of the risk, I suppose, the risk and rewards of that. And I sort of overheard a really good sort of example of when AI can both be brilliant and challenging. I mean, a really simple, basic use of collecting notes from a meeting. And we all use it now, pretty much. Like, there's not a single like Zoom, Google, Teams. We've got pockets where we can record conversations so that we can come back to it and record sort of thoughts and things like that, which is absolutely amazing. Takes out that role out of somebody having to sort of concentrate on note taking, which is all really brilliant. It's amazing having access to previous conversations you had that you never used to. But what it isn't very good at, obviously, is picking up body language. It's not very good at picking up tone of voice. It's not very good at picking up context. And there's a whole sort of world within, you know, it's already more difficult when you move from real world to online. But AI can't pick up if somebody says something with an eyebrow raised and a smirk, right? So you've got to be able to really role model when it's correct to use it. And that's a really silly example in a meeting. But the more you go into the complex uses of AI and where it's used and isn't used, I think it's incredibly important for leadership to understand pros, cons, role model, correct usage, where, you know, how to use it, when to use it, and all of that. But tough job for leadership.
Yeah. As you said, everyone's going through an experimentation phase at the moment. And at some point, we'll come out the other side of that and we'll need to see real ROI. Part of that responsible adoption is, you know, we have an economic pillar in Future Plus. We think a lot about the ROI of everything. So how are you balancing those things? And that kind of links also really nicely into thinking about this phrase, frugal AI. You know, we've all been having a lot of fun experimenting, churning out a lot of stuff. But actually, in terms of cost per use and also environmental, you know, economic cost per use and environmental cost per use, this idea of reining that in, thinking about how we can use it frugally and responsibly. And sort of to your point, that comes back to leadership, right? And how these things are being understood and implemented throughout the organization.
Yeah. And I think increasing like technical literacy, everyone was talking about financial, we're still talking about financial literacy and improving that. But I think there is now a technical literacy of understanding what you do, how you prompt, the length of your prompts, the amount that you're asking it to look at is constantly sort of creating a greater. It's such a huge subject. We won't have time to go through all of it today.
The only thing I would add is that this is also going to become very important as we get more sophisticated at modelling environmental impacts of use. So at the moment, that's all very opaque. You know, you can contact your provider, your supply chain, and ask for information about energy and water use, etc. You might not get a great answer at this point. Some companies are better than others. But what we're not seeing, or certainly I haven't seen, is really detailed modelling on impact per prompt or impact per workflow. And it's when we start to get that kind of granular data that I think it will really start to hit home about the sort of real life impact environmentally of all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a carrot stick push and pull of that data sort of starting to come through as people use it more. Amazing. Thank you, Polly. It was great to talk to you again. I have no doubt that we are going to come back to AI again in the future. But if you'd like to find out more about some of the work that we do, how to adopt AI responsibly, you can visit www.future-plus.co.uk.